We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The preacher and the teacher, Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
One, two out, the 2-2 pitch. Swinging the drive to center field. Jackie going back to the warning track by the fence, and this one's gone. Over the fence, into the bleachers, a three-run homer for Anthony Santander.
2-2 first from Price to Broxton on the way. Swinging his hammer deep to left. There it goes. He on Broxton connect. 15 rows back in left field. It's a two-run shot, and it is 6-2 for Baltimore.
The 0-2 pitch. Swinging a ground boy weakly to the charging second baseman. VR scoop flips to first, and this one is over. The Orioles roll over the Red Sox tonight. Final, Baltimore 11 and Boston 2.
Oh, yuck.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
Well, unfortunately, on the night before the 50th anniversary of the first man on the moon, Neil Armstrong, in Apollo 11, most of the moonshots were propelled by the Baltimore Orioles as the Red Sox crushed by the worst team in baseball last night. 11-2, David Price back in the news the last couple days. His feud with Dennis Eckersley reignited. And as it usually happens, when things, Larry, unfold off the field for David Price, things usually don't go so well on the field. And we saw good evidence of that last night.
Also, Baltimore had the rookie, a lefty up there, and he really had a nice game for them. And that's, you know, the thing with this team is the one word I would use is inconsistent. You know, they'll win a couple of games, and then just when you think they're on a roll before they go into that 14-game series with the Yankees and Indians and Tampa, they just lose the damnedest games. They're very inconsistent. You can't really trust this team. And you know, I don't know. I think Cora, he certainly got out of it now. This living in last year's success just has not worked. It's not the same team this year. They lost Kelly to the Dodgers, and they've
Kimbrel to the Cubs.
Kimbrel to the Cubs. He's saved five games so far, at least five, maybe six. And they're having trouble in the bullpen. They're having trouble. Listen, if you think Eovaldi's going to come in here and he's going to stop the bleeding in the bullpen, he might. But they're inconsistent with the starting pitching.
Well, the bullpen was not an issue last night, and David Price really
they didn't have to be
got into the Wayback Machine and returned to the year 2017, just days after the Dennis Eckersley story that will be published. It's already been on the website. It will be published in the Boston Globe magazine, Chad Finn's piece tomorrow. And Eckersley, you saw the piece, Larry, basically said he doesn't think too much about it, doesn't give a damn about his relationship or lack thereof with David Price. But then Price, who's conducted himself with admirable decorum all year, you even said it last week, David Price hasn't been an issue at all, certainly off the field.
Well, he's been pitching well.
Well, the last couple starts, he hasn't been pitching well. Last night, he was horrific. Hasn't gotten out of the sixth inning in his last four or five starts. But he
That's almost becoming the norm now.
But he has not pitched well, really, in the last two or three starts, if you've been paying attention. But he could not help himself when he saw the comments on the website that Eckersley chooses not to have a relationship with Price. They avoid each other on the team plane when they're traveling together. And he had, and this is, how many times have we talked about that the Twitter is the id of the 21st century?
I don't use it. I really don't.
You had it for a while.
I have it to put my cartoons on there, but otherwise I don't use it. I got hacked real bad one day on there. Somebody put some X-rated videos on this. So I had to go in and change.
No, are you serious?
Seriously, I had to go in and change the whole account around.
And how long did it take you to actually get those videos off the site?
A couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But, hey, by the way, I want to thank Dale Arnold. He gave some tips yesterday to stay cool in this hot weather. And one of them was put your underwear in the freezer. And...
Was he being serious?
Yeah. I don't know, but it was one of the best rides I've had in a long time. Matter of fact, I brought an extra pair in, so when I leave here today, I'll just go in and do a quick change.
Ever heard of air conditioning, Larry? Just turn the thermometer down to about 66, 67 degrees, and I think you'll be fine.
Doesn't work like this, though.
Not like frozen undershorts, huh?
Yeah. Oh, no. Fantastic. Fruit of the Loom? Fantastic.
Fruit of the Loom?
Yeah.
Put them in the fridge, and you're going to be all set in this heat wave. But
seriously, I don't...
But seriously, folks...
I can't understand, and this... I guess that's why I get irritated with it. It baffles me... How you can make like a hundred and, no, he's up around a little over 200 million contract.
Talking about price?
Yeah. And just get so involved with minutia that means absolutely nothing. I just don't think for a minute of your situation in your life, and you're okay, you're doing all right, but to have that kind of money in the bank... Like, why would you even care what people think of you? To have that kind of money in the bank, you can go wherever you want, do whatever you want. And for him to continuously get involved in these dust-ups, I don't understand it.
Well, it was totally unnecessary to go back to 2017. As Chad Finn has explained in this piece, that was not the focus of the article. They went back, discussed the 78 Red Sox, talked about the various teams he's played with, including the Oakland championship team, and his great work with Tony La Russa out of the bullpen, giving up the home run to Gibson in the 88 series. They spent 2 minutes in a six-hour interview discussing David Price. But of course, when the comments from Eckersley came out, we talked about it here at this radio station. And Price, who claims to be above the fray now, you know, he doesn't care. He finally got that proverbial gorilla off his back by winning the World Series last year, having a great postseason, finally redeeming himself. You'd think from here on out that he would not go back and wallow in this crap.
Why would
and that's
you
what
care?
It is.
Yeah.
Why would he care? But he does. And then when he said, Larry, did you catch those comments about the MLB documentary about Eckersley's life? And he goes, well, I guess it really shows what people think of him. They couldn't find any ex-teammates to interview to talk about him. A, that was erroneous. They did talk to ex-teammates like Mark McGwire, Bruce Hurst, Jerry Remy, Fred Lynn, Ray Fossey. But to even say, well, when I have a documentary about me, I'll have former teammates, I'll have former coaches. They can all vouch for me. He didn't have that. To me, that's all you need to know. That tells the entire story right here. Why are you doing this? Why are you succumbing to this base level? It makes no sense whatsoever. But again, it's all irrational. And as great as he was in the postseason last year, as solid as he's been, as quiet as he's been so far in the 2019 season, as soon as this dust-up occurs, he has to go back to Twitter, and he has to make a complete and utter fool of himself.
He either needs to move on, or we can meet, one of the two. If he says he wants to move on, stop talking about it.
He barely talked about it.
I want to see you outside after the show. I want to meet you outside
yeah,
after
right,
the show.
Exactly.
I mean, honest to God,
right.
If anything, and Eckersley even talked about, you know, his wife, Manning taking his wife from him and all that. I mean, he's moved on. Most enjoyable. Love listening to him on the games. He's great.
He's been a breath of fresh air since he came to this team in 1978. Never reached the heights he did in 78 when he was a 20-game winner. Completely reinvented himself with the help of La Russa. In the late 80s. And, you know, he gave up probably the most memorable home run in in World Series history, right up there, probably even more famous than Fisk, is certainly very close because the Dodgers went on to win the World Series, unlike the Red Sox in 75. But he came back and became an even better pitcher, won an MVP and a Cy Young in the same year in 92, 3 years after, 4 years after he gave up the home run to Gibson. This guy has seen the peaks, he's seen the valleys, he's seen adversity, he's seen success, and he's always been this unflappable personality. Congenial, informative, funny, great on television, can't get enough of him, and a friend to all.
Jeez, it's got some hair on it.
Right. And because of one word, he looked at Erod's pitching line. People forget this. He wasn't even commenting on Price. He was commenting on Erod's line, which was horrendous. And Price needs to ignite this feud because of that? And, you know, we thought we were over it. We thought that was in the dustbin of history, but apparently not. And, Larry, if you saw comments like that, if you were, and I guess this is asking a lot of David Price, if you were a rational human being, what would you do?
I would ignore it.
Ignore it. Say something, you know, in the Crash Davis answer A, B, or C category from Bull Durham and just move on. You know, you redeem yourself.
Or I would seek out Eckersley and just have a two-minute conversation about it and why did you have to go there or whatever. But it, I was, certainly would not take it the way he did. And it's like Muhammad Ali's one of his, he's had many, but one of his greatest quotes were, if you can do it, then it ain't bragging. And I think in Price's case, if you go out there and you do your job, then people really don't care what you say. It's when you go out like last night's game and pitch the way he did, that people get annoyed about it.
Right. And even when, you know, he had a great postseason and was the reason, even though he didn't win the MVP, should have won the MVP in that Dodgers series, Steve Pierce did instead. Everybody knew that David Price's turnaround in the 2018 postseason had a lot to do with the Red Sox winning. Even then, he couldn't take the high road. It's been really difficult for David Price ever to take the high road in any scenario.
Well, I think he thought he won last year, coming in and helping the team with the World Series and the like, and I think he felt, there, I've arrived. I've shut you guys up.
That's what he said.
I know. That's why I'm surprised that he would let this thing.
But even saying
simmer,
that, it's so undiplomatic. I mean, we like honesty. We want candor. But sometimes, you know, I mean, and especially with this Twitter thing about when they do a documentary about me, I'll have coaches, I'll have teammates, they'll all vouch for me. What, are they going to get down on their knees and erect shrines in front of
the
cameras?
But they won't say anything about Eckersley.
Oh, pathetic.
Won't be able to find anybody.
Oh, my God. And they, oh, Mark McGwire, I guess Jerry Remy, Fred Lynn, Bruce Hurst, those teammates, I guess, weren't good enough. It's just absolutely, it boggles my mind that especially after the
remember,
events.
He lost his dog.
That's true. He's probably in a state of mourning.
Right.
But you know,
I know that.
But you know,
anybody.
Yes. But you know as well as I do, Larry, because the Red Sox did win and because Price was a major part of that success in October last
heroic.
Year.
He really was.
Yes. I wouldn't go that far. It's a baseball game.
Well, heroic in a sports context.
Yes.
That he, you know,
yeah.
Given the fact came through that they really needed him.
Given the fact that he had such a lack of success before then, and all the stories and everything else, and he came through with flying colors against all odds. Finally, he overcame all the doubts and made his mark. And now he has to go back down the rabbit hole with this. And again, back to the Twitter. Why do people use Twitter? Why do athletes use Twitter? Stay away from Twitter.
All these athletes, I mean, a couple of them are upset because they weren't rated high enough in the Madden game. I don't know what is wrong with people.
You know what it is? We appreciate, and people don't, if you don't know professional athletes, ever been around them, you don't understand really how intensely, insanely competitive.
Well, the ones I were around, they weren't like that.
Well, the ones I've been around.
It's a new generation of people.
Well, I don't think so. I think, you know, I think even the old timers, maybe after a few years when their careers are over and they can settle back and look at things with a little more perspective, they can be a little more rational. But I think when you're still in the middle of it, when you're still in the arena like David Price is, and he's a very bright guy, there's no question about that, but that intelligence is a fine line between intelligence and oversensitivity, and he's so sensitive, he's so competitive, he's out to beat everybody, he's never going to be beloved in this town, even if they win another World Series and David Price comes through again. I still don't think he's ever going to have a spot in Red Sox Nation's heart just because his personality is cantankerous. And we saw it again this week.
Well, all I know is, what's there to complain about? Bob Kraft got a new woman. And the world goes on. The Patriots training camp is starting. I just think with this team being the way they have been this year, must be driving Cora absolutely crazy. I don't know. How do the Patriots do it? You think with Belichick just... I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know.
I can answer two words. Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, this guy, if you look at the you can't get the globe on your computer.
Yes, but, I can.
Oh, they have a video on there of him jumping off a waterfall with his daughter. I mean, he does the craziest damn things. You wouldn't, off the field, he conducts his life like a second string quarterback. Like if something happens to me, who cares? They still got the starter. He does the wildest damn things for a guy who holds the franchise in his hand.
For a guy who's been hurt basically once in 20 years in the NFL and is the greatest player to ever play the game, yeah, he's been surprisingly healthy and has not been affected by some of those quote-unquote antics off the field. But I think with the Red Sox, and it happens every year, whether they're successful or not, in the dog days, and we're definitely in the dog days now with 99, 100-degree weather coming up, and the Red Sox essentially dog paddling their way through the American League.
Yankees won last night.
They're 11 games 92. Behind. That's yep. They were 11 games behind a couple weeks ago. So they've been at that 11 mark before. They're now 3 games behind in the wild card.
Well, they've got a stretch coming up where they're playing some of the top teams over the next 13 or 14 games. And not that you don't know already, but you will really get a better idea where this Red Sox team is at.
Well, here's the problem. You said you can't figure out what they are. They're very inconsistent. This is what they have been until last night. And I think, you know, you look at any of the series against the best teams in the league, they usually lose those series. Last week against the Dodgers, they lost that series. They won the first game, got blown out in the second, and then lost in extra innings in the third. The Houston the times they played Houston, they've lost 2 out of 3. The 2 Yankee series, they lost 2 out of 3. When they're playing good teams, they're one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball.
Mm.
But they're one of the best teams going into last night against the bottom of the barrel. And no one is more bottom of the barrel than the Orioles. And to lose that game last night, especially after the David Price thing over the last couple days, that was annoying. But where are who are the Red Sox this year? Larger question.
We really don't know.
And here we are. It's July 20th, 50th anniversary of the moonshot, 11 days away from the trade deadline. And usually this time people are saying, what are the Red Sox going to do with the trade?
You keep mentioning the moonshot.
Yeah.
I know you want to talk about it for a minute, so go ahead.
Right now?
Well, I don't know. You've referenced it about 4 times, which
right.
is fine. It was a phenomenal.
Right.
I was certainly one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. It was a phenomenal experience from what I can remember.
Yeah. Do you remember where you were? People always ask that question about JFK.
I was at my grandparents' house, I think.
At your grandparents' house?
I used to go over there all the time.
Yep.
Fussed with my kids today. I said, nobody comes by to see us or anything. They said, people don't want to be bothered with their grandparents. I said, I used to go to my grandparents' house all the time.
So you were maybe sitting around your grandparents'
yeah.
television?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at Boy Scout camp.
Oh?
And I was a Boy Scout looking to, I think, get my first class badge or something like that.
Did you get it?
I'm not sure if I got that or not.
What were you doing that night? What were you doing that night that you can't remember?
But it was at a little after 10 o'clock at night. They landed on the moon in the afternoon.
And what time did you land on the moon?
And so by the time they actually got out of the capsule, it was like 10:15, 10:20 or so when Neil Armstrong uttered his immortal line, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And I was the only person up. It was a lodge, and there was a TV in this Boy Scout lodge. And I was the only guy up. I was the only 13-year-old at the time who seemed to care that this, the first time ever in the history of man's civilization, that we actually left the planet and landed somewhere else. I was the only person. This is a Boy Scout camp, probably had 150 kids. I was the only one who cared. And I'm probably the only one who cares today.
You were one of the favorites up there, I heard.
Up there in the moon?
And no, on the camp.
Yes, I was. And I'm not sure what you're talking about, and I'm just going to move right along. So you don't specifically remember.
Many favorite stories. Most of them I can't tell on the air.
Exactly, and we're going to leave
Except
it that way.
That woman that punched you in the eye. That was one of my favorites.
So back in the day, you notice I'm just ignoring that as well. Back in the day, back in the early days of WEEI, on an anniversary, we'd always, where were you when this happened? I did an entire show on the 15th anniversary.
I'd like to ask you that question about a few other things.
Can we get back to the task at
hand? Yeah, well, you're the one who takes us up to the moon.
You need to focus.
The thing I can remember about that was I'm hitting the golf ball.
That was Alan Shepard a little bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember the most fascinating photo they had while they were up there was looking at planet Earth.
That actually came in Apollo 8, which preceded Apollo. The first Apollo space capsule with Frank Borman, they actually orbited the moon in their very first shot. And this is the very first shot anybody ever saw of Earth from the moon's perspective, and that was spectacular.
Really was.
And you have,
I think, the scariest part of that whole trip, though, was them returning to the mothership.
You think about that.
I mean, really and truly, man, one screw up or one mistake, and you don't go home.
Well, here's the problem, and I just watched this. PBS had a great multi-part documentary on the entire space program from Mercury to Apollo 11 and landing on the moon. And they had one shot to get from their LEM capsule, which is the capsule that left Apollo down to the moon's surface.
Boy.
They had one ignition chance, and if it didn't ignite the first time, they would be stranded on the moon. Mm. They would be stranded, and they never could get back. Remember, the one guy, Michael Collins, was orbiting the moon in the Apollo 11.
No, it's funny.
And the other two guys were down on the moon.
If you mentioned his name, I wouldn't know him if he walked in the studio right now. John Glenn is the one that I remember.
That was way back in the Mercury program. Yeah. He was the third guy to go up.
The first to go up was Alan Shepard.
From New Hampshire.
Right.
New England boy.
And Gus Grissom, was he the third one?
He was the second.
Second one.
And third was Glenn, and he was the first guy to actually orbit the Earth. And, of course, Grissom died in that really terrible fire. Hmm. Remember, before the first Apollo went up, they lost three lives, one of which was Gus Grissom.
And which one was Sally? When was Sally went up?
Sally Ride is still with us. You're thinking of Judith Resnick, who was, along with Krista McAuliffe, was on the Space Challenger that blew up on liftoff.
Her name was what?
Sally Ride.
No, the one with the capsule.
Judith Resnick was the professional astronaut. And, of course, Krista McAuliffe, who was from this area, was a New Hampshire teacher. She was on Space the Challenger in 1986 when it blew up on the liftoff.
I know it, yeah. That was
terrible.
Oh,
but you think about this. Up until 86, you did have that fire on the launching pad that killed three astronauts before the Apollo program got underway. But we were able to get all those people up into space and back down safely until Challenger is absolutely amazing.
Now, you know what is amazing to me? And then we got to go to break, and then we'll go back to sports because we got a lot to talk about. But when you watch footage of the actual rocket taking off from Houston or wherever the space station, they
Cape Canaveral, Cape Kennedy, yep.
The ignition, the amount of power and stuff that was needed to lift that thing up.
You're amazing. I'm very impressed with your knowledge.
But you know what it is? Every time I watch that, I think in the Bible with Jesus, how he ascended from his disciples. He just ascended. Just they were watching him, and he just ascended. And then you compare it to Cape Canaveral and stuff and all the power and stuff that they needed to get that thing up off the ground. It's an amazing comparison.
And unfortunately, and this has been chronicled both in the PBS documentary and this book.
I got to watch these things. I got to catch up with
it's on PBS. You should definitely watch it. But unfortunately, the Jesus, and I hate to say this, Larry, because I don't want to offend you or anybody else, but the savior of this program was a former Nazi collaborator, Wernher von Braun. He was the genius behind all this rocketry.
Really?
And he's the guy that made this thing happen. And he was aware of what was going on in the Nazi regime, including the concentration camps.
Now what?
Because he was so important to the rocket program post-World War II.
They kind of looked the other way.
They looked the other way.
Yep. What about that movie with those black women who were involved?
Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that was a true story?
That is true.
She was a mathematician?
Yeah, there's a book and a movie. I've seen neither, but I will check that out.
Yeah. Wow.
Meanwhile, it is the...
speaking of a rocket that never got off the ground, we're discussing
David Price. It's the Mustard
and
Johnson show. No, it's the Mustard and Johnson show.
Oh, no. I think we got a better record than David Price.
David Price, unfortunately, blew up on the launching pad last night. And if anybody went flying to the moon, it was the Baltimore Orioles. This is so bad.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to see you bring this back. I want to see you come in with a nice landing.
See if I can pull off a re-entry here.
Yeah, I want to see if you can.
617-779-7937.
I never knew, though, that when they landed, like that they had to sanitize and everything, the ship and everything. It wasn't just the landing and then they come out and get you.
They put them in a vacuum.
Yeah,
and they could talk to people through this glass vacuum.
Right.
And what do they call that when they put somebody in a chamber and they separate them from the rest of the group?
Studio.
Something like that. Yeah. 617-779-7937. Mustard and Johnson. Happy 50th anniversary to the space program.
Man,
it was
where were you?
50 years ago today, July 20th.
Where were you when
1969.
We started here?
1969. Where was I?
No, not you. We know where you were. I'm talking about our listeners.
What, in 1969?
No, do you think we would be on this long?
What are we talking about here? Oh, you're going to our anniversary.
Yes.
You're confusing things. Will you please rescue us from this mess? Thank you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
Not like I'm trying to stick it to E-Rod. Not at all. I mean, that's just, you know, you'd have to ask the guy that got upset about what set him off, because I only go by what he said later, and then he wanted to talk to me about a month later. So, I get confused here. I don't want to sit around and talk about what I said, what I think he was mad about. It'd be like throwing stuff against the wall. I really don't know, but obviously he doesn't like my act.
Would you ever want to talk to him?
No. Why would I want to talk to him? You know?
And you've had other guys who probably didn't like you or...
Yeah. He's not the first guy that doesn't like me. I get it.
That was Dennis Eckersley on the Bradfoe podcast, the award-winning.
Everybody likes him, though. You can't help but love the guy's broadcast. You can't help it.
That was from a couple years ago, and of course, it's back in the news again.
See, Price probably feels like, well, why did they like him and they don't really like me?
Well,
that's probably what it is.
Eckersley is just one of these eminently likable, affable guys. He is entertaining. He's friendly.
He has his own
informative,
vocabulary.
He's highly enlightening. You learn a lot, as you do with Remy.
Right. Remy's excellent also.
Right. And Eckersley is a Hall of Fame pitcher who's won World Series.
But he doesn't understand the game, though.
Amazing. And then for him to just wallow in the gutter with this idea that he didn't have enough, Eckersley didn't have enough teammates on the documentary on the MLB network. That's a testament to the fact that no one likes Eckersley. That is just so absurd.
Then he goes out last night and gives up 6 runs in 4 innings. And he says, what happens off the field doesn't bother me.
Well, we know.
Well, maybe what happens on the field should bother you.
But it does seem as if when things happen off the field, they're usually, for David Price, extended onto the field. And we saw that Exhibit A last night. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We begin with Andy from Framingham, who I know knows where he was when Neil Armstrong touched that lunar surface for the first time.
I was awaiting discharge papers in California from the Marine Corps at that particular time.
I thought you meant from jail.
Now, that could be, too. That may be, and I just don't remember.
Yeah. Would you go on vacation?
No.
No, seriously.
I was on a scouting mission in the Dominican. Are you there?
Yeah, I'd be very careful with any scouting missions in the Dominican.
Hey, listen. I'd like to be part of that David Price documentary. I've had about enough of him.
Wait a minute. Even after he redeemed himself so thoroughly in the World Series and the two playoff series before then?
That's beyond my belief that a guy who studied at Vanderbilt said some of the dumbest things. The dumbest things.
Well, there's an academic intelligence and there's an emotional intelligence.
Well, he wouldn't have gotten in. Vanderbilt does not cut any corners, even in baseball, although they're dominating.
Well, I wouldn't. I think you don't quite understand the policies of these elite schools. There's a different standard, Andy, for athletes.
I'm afraid I wasn't part of that.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, on the Red Sox themselves, if I may, Evaldi going to the pen as a closer is an act of desperation. I don't like it. He may be well, but I mean, it's not his mentality to be a closer. It's a different mindset.
Well, he certainly, and he wasn't a closer last year, but he wasn't a closer per se. He was very effective, and we all remember Game 3 of the World Series.
Use him in the pen if need be, but boy, I mean, that. I'm disappointed that they did not address the issue mid-season or earlier in the year. They did make a fair offer, I felt, to Kimbrel. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of his because you'd be running for a shot and a beer every time he was on the mound.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Now, but, I mean, they got issues in that pen. They're 11 back from the Yankees. They're not going anywhere. The Yankees are going to have to improve their starting.
Well, they've got Bonds and Workman, and then you add Evaldi out there. You know what? You talk about an article on Price and everything. Who cares? I would like to know the workings behind the scenes with Dombrowski in the bit as to why he could not have gone out and gotten them a decent closer.
Well, is it financial? I mean, is it?
Well, that's what I want to know.
Well, I think it is, to be honest with you. I think they made a point that they were going to bring certain players back. I'm all for that. You know, you deserve the right. If you win it, you deserve the right to try to repeat it. They couldn't bring everyone back. I understand that as well. But they had to know that they were playing with fire.
But aside from Price, who's making a ridiculous contract.
Right.
Like, where is all the money going? They say, like, they're over the luxury tax.
Well, just Sale has a decent contract, not at the level of prices.
Right. And, well, they signed Bogarts. They've got Martinez. Right. They've got some big money out there. I mean, I understand that. They haven't had much help.
You think Bogaerts
is farm system? It's a little further down.
But you think Bogaerts is making that much money? I think he signed a team-friendly deal.
Well, it's still pretty good money. The biggest problem with this team, and I can't pinpoint. If you said what is the biggest problem on this team, could you pinpoint one thing? Is it just the bullpen? It's an overall inconsistency. There's a malaise about this team.
They're going through the same thing. I won't keep you guys, but I will say this, is that they're going through the same things the Cubs had gone through a year ago. They don't want a World Series hangover. And they're trying to come out of it, but it may be too late in that regard.
All right, Andy.
Have a good one.
Hey, Andy, good talking to you. Glad you got out.
7797937. It is Ralph in Cranston is
Ralph.
Next on Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey Ralph, how are you? Ralph, I'm going to be in your Fairburg tonight, as a matter of fact.
Where?
Dining at Spain.
Oh, in Cranston?
Yes.
Island?
Yep.
Oh, you're going to like it. It's a good place.
Yeah, a friend of mine from Connecticut found some nice reviews online about that, so we're going to give that a little try tonight. Who's paying?
You'll enjoy it. They have one there. They have one in Narragansett. So you'll enjoy it. It's a good restaurant.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Who's paying for it?
We'll be splitting the bill.
Is that how do you discuss that ahead of time?
We don't. We just split the bill. I don't pay any. I'm not one of these
people. I love when people try. You know, after you finish the meal.
Wait a minute! I didn't have that.
No, then people say. then people say, "Don't worry, I'm paying for it." I said, "Well, why the hell didn't you tell me before I ordered?"
Exactly. Good point by you.
Or when the check comes, get up and go to the bathroom.
You got all kinds of strategies, don't you?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. Mr. Alligator Arms over here. So what's on your mind, Ralph?
Anyway, first of all, you know, you mentioned Price just now. Price and Kyrie Irving did not belong in this market. And that's the problem with it. You know, bringing a guy in here, you know, I don't think Price and Kyrie are bad people. I really don't think they are. But I mean, people make them villains. They just do not belong in a market where when you don't pitch well or you don't score 30 points, the media gets on you. You can't attack it, and that's what they both do. They attack and they turn the media against them. The media,
you know,
turns the fans against them, and they look like villains.
That's a very good comparison, though. I never thought about it, but that way. Matter of fact, the anticipation that most Celtics fans and management even are having to see this team with the new players and people aren't running around in fear of Tyree. Kyrie.
Yeah, well, he was in the wrong market. Now, guys, Eovaldi, you know, Andy, I didn't know Andy was a Marine veteran. You know, God bless him. That's, you know, I honor anyone.
First responder.
I never was. Yeah, yep. Really. But anyway, I totally disagree with the Eovaldi thing because this is the only chance they have to revive this season if this works. I mean, I think he has the mentality to do it, and I think he has the stuff to do it. I know he's
Would it have worked last night?
Who knows? But, you know, the thing
is... Price gives up six runs.
Look, Price is Price. He's going to have good games, bad games. But I think their major problem is that closer role. And if it works, it could turn on the rest of this team. It could stimulate them. And, guys, if it doesn't work in the next 2 or 3 weeks, let's say it doesn't work, I totally become sellers. I start with J.D. Martinez and say, you know what? You can't afford him and Betts going forward. And if you're going to pick one of the two, I pick Betts.
You're going to pay $300 million. You're going to pay $300 million for one player.
Well, he's your best player in the whole organization. What do you do? Do you not say this is the market
I trade him and restock my farm system.
And their farm system is bare right now. It is empty in that cupboard.
Starting to come back. What I don't want to see is Dombrowski make a move like Chavis and Hernandez and go out and get a reliever or a closer. I don't want to see him do that. And that's what he normally does. And let's face it, this is his last contract. They're not going to renew Dombrowski's contract if they have any brains. He did what he did, but you don't want this turning into Detroit. Look what he did in Detroit. He wiped the farm system.
Ralph,
out,
everywhere he's right been. Everywhere he's been. Florida.
Yeah,
right now, in fairness to him, is he following marching orders?
Yeah, he was hired to do one thing, and we knew exactly what it was. It was to win now. He did win now. He eviscerated and evacuated the entire farm system to do it, but that's what Red Sox fans and Red Sox management wanted, and he did it. And, you know, unfortunately along the way, The cupboard is bare right now at the minor league level. Ralph says it's coming back. I've heard most of the things I've read says it's still in pretty bad condition. Meanwhile, the Yankees, which was a team notorious for not having a tremendous farm system over the last 20 or so years, is stocked to the gills.
How do you build up your farm system? Other than drafting, though, how do you build up your farm system?
They have to make some very good decisions internationally.
Yeah.
Remember, it's not just drafting. It's going around the world and finding, particularly in the Caribbean, finding these players, the Japanese players. And Cashman has done that. Red Sox have won the arms race, so to speak. They've won 4 to the Yankees, 2 in the 21st century. But right now, Yankees in better position, both in the standings and in the future. And let's face it, Larry, I don't care what anybody says. It's all about Red Sox vis-a-vis Yankees. That's all anybody really cares about. The Tampas come and go. The Orioles have good seasons and bad seasons.
Oh no, they got to rebuild themselves. Well, the Orioles.
Yeah, but you know they've had recent success. You know there are other teams in the American League, but the only team anybody really cares about, they're the Soviet Union of back in the Cold War, are the Yankees. And the Yankees right now are in better position to keep on winning for the future because, and look at all the different players they've been
restocking
using.
They're restocking and
a lot of
young
injuries.
Players.
Doesn't even matter.
Yeah, doesn't they even got, matter.
They're loaded with talent. They don't have great starting pitching, but they're loaded certainly in all the position players. 617-779-7937. Mustard and Johnson rolling on inexorably toward Andy.
Can you say that again?
Inevitably and inexorably.
Okay.
Easy for you to say, huh? You try it.
That's why I don't.
By the way, do you notice what we haven't had in the first 45 minutes?
No, why do you even mention it? Have some popcorn.
Eamon, you know what we haven't had? You noticed?
I'd like hiccups for 1,000.
Oh, thanks a lot. Want some popcorn?
You know, I did that once about 15 years ago.
No,
that's
you did.
That's the only thing
times.
You can come back with.
People don't forget.
Yeah, one little popcorn kernel. Fell into my throat.
Oh, I got
one
other
time.
Things, but you don't want to talk about them.
I know, I don't. We can discuss them. We can discuss them extensively off the air. Yeah. Just make sure Eamon makes the takes the microphone off. 617-779-7937. Mustard and Johnson till 11, right here on Sports Radio.
Who knows? But
who knows?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Still dark outside. It was a light coming down from the sky. I don't know who or why. Must be those strangers that come every night. Those saucer-shaped lights put people uptight. Leave blue-green footprints that glow in the dark.
Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio, WEEI.
You know, I was asking you about John Henry and his relationship to the budget. What's the matter?
I was waiting for the refrain, and you jumped all over the refrain. This is Please, Mr. Spaceman. Once again, another musical commemoration and tribute to the 50th anniversary.
You know, and I'm sure millions of people out there were waiting for
that. Waiting for that. When are we going to hear the refrain of the birds, Mr. Spaceman? This is not about Bill Lee.
Oh.
This is about Neil Armstrong.
You got any other gems you want to throw
I do. I got Dark Side of the Moon coming up, Paper Moon from Nat King Cole. We got them all right here on the big 93.7 FM. Give us a call, your request and dedications till 11 o'clock. Okay, what were you saying?
Right, I was going to do something foolishly, talk about sports.
Oh, but wow. You are fooly. You silly boy.
No,
you.
The Herald does have a very good piece about John Henry and his relationship with Dombrowski and the luxury tax and why they're not spending more money and why, you know, he's putting a lot of pressure on Dombrowski. Hey, look, you did it before. I mean, you know, you're bringing all these guys in here, and some of them just aren't performing.
Well, one of the things, and we've been talking about it from the beginning of the Dombrowski era, unlike Charrington, unlike Theo, Dombrowski, because of his track record, had won before, much older than both of those guys. They were not protégés. They were not, and Larry by that time had left the organization, Larry Lucchino, and they gave the keys to Dombrowski. Theo and Charrington never had the kind of power
right.
that Dombrowski has right now. They basically said, you're running the baseball operation. We're staying out of it. There's no Larry Lucchino to meddle anymore.
But we don't want you spending any more money other than what you have.
Right. And the last 2 or 3 years, they've by far had the highest payroll in baseball. And, you know, John Henry has been very inconsistent in his approach to the luxury tax and to spending in general. You know, there were
they've been outstanding owners, though.
Oh,
they really
fantastic.
Have been. Unbelievable.
No, they've been great owners. And, you know, as much as I love Joe O'Donnell, used to work with him all the time back in the Eddie Adelman days. And, you know, he was one of the people that were vying for that ownership when the Yawkey Trust sold the team.
Right.
It wouldn't have been the same. I'm sure Joe would have been a very good owner. Yet, no one expected this combination to be as successful. I mean, given the fact they had, you know, there's nothing but heartbreak and you know, all those years without a championship for the Henry group to come in here and win not one, not two, not three, but four championships, it astounded everybody. They've done a terrific job. But as we said before the break, as great as they were last year, they have the World Series hangover. There's no question about that.
The other thing that with Henry that people don't think about that much is he's not getting any younger either. I mean, you have to ask yourself, how long does he want to do this?
No, for an MLB owner, I don't think he's particularly old.
Well, he's not old, but he's got a very attractive young wife. And
what does that have to do with his ownership?
The fact that they might want to do other things.
Well, he bought a newspaper, I believe, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Why are you rolling your eyes?
I don't think that's done all that well.
Well,
none of them have, really.
Well, the newspaper business has, you know, but you need someone like a John Henry who does have deep pockets to keep a newspaper. And I think it's important to have, it's great in this town we have two newspapers.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, certainly. Very, very fortunate to have that.
But they're getting very expensive, too.
They are very expensive. The Washington Post was rescued by Jeff Bezos, the guy that started Amazon, the richest man in the world. That newspaper has thrived since Bezos took over. I think John Henry's been a good publisher for the Globe. He's been a terrific owner for the Red Sox. But right now, I think the Red Sox are a little bit of a crossroads. They see the Yankees 11 games up in front in the AL East. As we said, they see the Yankees with a superior minor league system. And I think this thing can be fixed. But right now, especially after losing 11-2 to the worst team in baseball, trade deadline 11 days away, you do wonder where this team is going, both in the immediate future of the 2019 season and where they're going beyond.
The other problem with baseball is, and it's always been this way, we're spoiled. We've always been spoiled. We don't want second. What's wrong with second place?
Well, we've been spoiled in the 21st century with 11 championships, yes.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we want to mention that there will be a tribute today at Nesson at some point for Pumpsy Green and the role he played as the first. I think the Bruins had a black player before
Willie
the Red Sox
O'Ree.
Did. Yeah.
The Bruins, believe it or not, in hockey integrated before the Red Sox. The Red Sox were, I believe, the last team in Major League Baseball to integrate. Did you know that, Larry Johnson?
No. I had no idea.
You had no idea.
No. But I just wanted to mention it.
He said sarcastically. You know, for those who don't know, Larry spent a lot of time ridiculing the Yawkey ownership and Tom Yawkey in particular. Now, who were the...
Was it Willie Mays?
Willie Mays,
Jackie
Hank
Robinson.
Aaron.
Was Jackie, Jackie Robinson.
Not Hank another. Aaron, because, of course, he was a Braves product.
Yeah.
But
I know Willie Mays and Jackie Robinson were two of them. They were out at Fenway Park one day, worked them out. They kept tattooing the wall and everything. And then there was a box up near the owner's box saying, get those ends out of here.
Yeah, that has never been verified. That has been a rumor,
okay,
of course.
What do you think?
John Henry being sensitive to Tom Yawkey's reputation as a racist, of course, removed the Yawkey Way designation and returned it to Jersey Street, that road that is cordoned off for commercial vendors before and after the game. So certainly a racist past. We'd like to believe that the Red Sox are now beyond that. Here we are, 60 years from Pumsey Green being the last or the first Red Sox player, and the Red Sox being the last team to integrate
all of Major League Baseball. God knows what he had to go through.
Right. And of course, you go back to the Celtics of the early 50s, a lot of black players in a time when...
The Red Auerbach was phenomenal.
Yeah, African-Americans did not play at the professional level basketball. Where'd you go in the late 40s and 50s if you were a black player and you're good? The Harlem Globetrotters. Basically, a minstrel show.
Will Chamberlain played for them.
Yeah, basically a minstrel show on a hard court. 617-779-7937. Hour one is in the books. Mustard and Johnson, hour number two, on the way on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.